very detailed. And there was a purpose behind it. You got to understand, this is like technology beyond belief, in a sense. It really is. Because there was very detailed instructions. I mean, think about it. If Moses didn't use gopher wood, what would have happened? Exactly. Noah built it. Thank you, Roger. If he would have used gopher wood, right, it probably would have sunk. It was very detailed instructions. If you look in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, what do we have there? What do we have there? The Tower of Babel, right? What we have to remember, though, with the Tower of Babel, it was condemned because man was not obeying the command to go throughout the world, right? But again, if you think about it, this was a very amazing structure for this time. Very, very amazing. I think I've got one more, and this one is my favorite. Exodus 25 and 27, the tabernacle. Tabernacle had very, very detailed instructions on how it was to be built and how it was supposed to be used. Very, very detailed. You know, if we go back to Genesis, though, Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, it says, God created the world and everything therein and said it was very good. Very good. You know, God has created some of the most complex machines within our very cells. And I'm thankful for that. You know, we have machines that save lives in our hospital, right? Technology. That's where it came from. And He is the God of intelligent design. Now, I want you to hear me out. I'm not saying technology is good. And we're going to get there. Because some things, I think, are a problem. You know, our Christian view today of technology, an amplifier of man's abilities, thoughts, desires, both for what? Good and evil. Good and evil. You know, technology and raw information can be used for very good. Because think about it a second. When someone is creating music, right, one note can change the emotion of that song. It's true. If you are behind music, I'm not very good at it, but if you're behind music, you know that. One note can change an emotion of a song. So information, technology, and the internet, it provides raw data and facts which man uses to communicate, sadly, for both good and evil. Here's another one. It is a poor substitute for omniscience. And what I mean by that is it's a poor substitute to say, well, that's where I'm going to get my knowledge from for everything in the world, the internet. It's a poor substitute. You know, it has its abilities. It has what we can do, but too many times people aren't turning to this enough. They're turning to Google or wherever else. And the last one, specifically, internet technology provides raw facts without guidance, which often lead, make sure you read this, lead to morality or goodness. You know, modern technology and scientific progress seeks to explain everything, if you think about it. That's what our world's saying. Humanists assume that we Christians are at best unlearned, at worst evil, deniers of other people's freedom. Think about it. Eve's temptation back in the garden, all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, Eve's temptation is still strong today for you and I. Our modern tools of raw knowledge and reason are very powerful and can easily distract us from the Word of God and what He wants us to have. Which that leads us to a call of action. You and I have to respond to this. You know, we must know the capabilities and limits of technology that our families use and actively resist the temptation to elevate man's knowledge above God's wisdom. Right? You and I have the control. You know, we can say, hey, well, I don't have the knowledge for that internet. We can try and plead that. I don't have the knowledge for those apps as parents and grandparents. And if we're doing that, if you're taking that approach and saying, well, I'm just going to pretend that I don't get it and I don't want to get it, that it can be very, 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 very bad for your kids. Because it's our responsibility. And I can say that now because I'm a father. It is my responsibility. It's your responsibility as parents and grandparents, aunt and uncles, that you know the good and the evil. And you watch that. You know, we as parents and leaders of the home, I know you can't see this. That's fine. I'll explain it. We as parents and leaders of the home must know enough about technology to recognize the benefits and the dangers and how to protect ourselves, how to protect our children, how to protect our grandchildren from this technology that's created. The temptation to place man's knowledge above God's wisdom. This picture right here shows kind of why we feel like this is important, and I know you can't see it, so I'm going to read it to you. Listen to some of these facts that are on here, and it's kind of actually hard for me to read on this one, but 70% of tablet-owning households report that kids have access to them, or access to those devices, at least some of the time. So like a tablet. Wade has one. Do you have your tablet?
It's at the house.
It's at the house, so I can't even show you. So a tablet, 70%. But here's where it gets interesting. How exactly are they using them? 43% TV shows and movies. You can get on these. 77% downloading and playing games. 57% learning and education. 55% entertainment while traveling. And here is something that's unbelievable to me. Man, children are being introduced to tablets and other devices earlier and earlier. 10% of 0 to 1-year-olds have played on a tablet and messed with a tablet. 39% of 2 to 4-year-olds and 5 to 8-year-olds, 52%. And the thing about it is we almost don't have any control over it. Because now the education systems are using them, which again, I think they're vital tools. But listen to some of these. This is in the education form. 51% of students carry a smartphone every single day. 17% of schools now require the use of tablet or mobile devices in the classroom. 90% of parents whose children are required to carry a mobile device say they make learning fun. 90%. And 76% of parents believe that tablet devices promote curiosity. So whether we like it or not, with every generation, and it's only going to get worse, with every generation, raising children takes on new challenges that have never before seen by parents. Think about it. I know some of you will get this. Some of these I don't get because I was never there. But think about it. Before the invention of the light bulb, okay? I don't think any of us were there. But before the invention of the light bulb, kids were inside by dark, right? Dark, because you wouldn't be able to see. And I only know this because I've seen movies of it, read books about it. Now, they could stay out late, but they wouldn't be able to see, right? They wouldn't be able to see. Before the automobile was invented, right, according to the shows that we see, they got from one place to the other by walking or horse, right? Walking or horse. Now we're able, you and I, we're able to travel hundreds of miles in just a few hours, just like that, easy. Before the invention of television, kids were outside all the time. Now, there's enough channels, there's enough TV, that if we wanted to, we could be entertained for 24 hours a day, literally, if you think about it. Before the invention of the internet, kids had to go, what's that called? Library, right? Library. They had to go to a library. And today, in just a few clicks, we can get information just like that. Just like that. It used to be that parents had to set a geographical boundary for us, right? And curfew for their children to obey. And now, this day and age, if you think about it, boundaries are primarily outlined, at least they used to be, don't go past that landmark. Now it's replaced with don't go to that website. There's no landmarks anymore. It's don't go to that website. Like it or not, we're in a technological age. And if you think about it, it seems that parenting has to change and has to be created. Just in the last 15 years, and some of you may not know what these things are, but just in the last 15 years, parents have had to address the following things. Listen to this. MP3s, iPods, YouTube, MySpace, Twitter, Facebook, Nook, Kindle, instant messaging, webcam, cell phones, texting, Xbox, DVR, TiVo, and more. To an older ear, those terms are confusing. You're like, what is that? You know, for my grandma, I remember the first time I asked her about, or was saying something about YouTube, she goes, is that toothpaste? Literally, I remember it. And some of you might be saying, well, isn't a Kindle something to do with fire? Do you use it to burn? See, the problem is, this trend is going to continue for parents, for grandparents, for all adults, and whether we want to or not, we need to address and adapt to even more technology in order to stay current with one of the most important things to us, and that's our children. It's our children. So what do we do? How does a parent stay informed? How do we connect and even communicate with children in this age? Well, I'm going to give you some of that. We're going to go over some of this. And this might be where you might need to say, hey, can you explain that? And I'll do my best. But you know the first thing? I know, this is, you're going to say, well, that sounds so simple. That sounds so easy. You know, get educated. Get educated. Listen to your children, and you will learn a lot. It never fails, at least once a month, when I'm hanging out with the teens, whether it's upstairs, it's at some event. Sometimes they'll talk about apps, and I'll be like, and, you know, I'll be listening. They don't know that, so shh, don't tell them. But, you know, I'll listen, and I'll be way over here, and they don't even know I'm listening. And I'll go to them, and I'll say, what'd you say? And so they'll say the name of it, and I'll go, okay. And I'll turn around and walk off. Well, I'm making a middle note. And that middle note is, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to look that up. I'm going to figure out what it is they're talking about it. You know, we have to get educated. They will talk about the latest technology, trust me. They will talk how they use it or how they want to use it. You know, we have to ask questions. Get online. I know, good and evil. But as a parent, get online and Google it. That's the first thing I do when I hear a teen say something about an app. I get online and I Google it to find answers. But also, you and I, we need to go to the store. We need to talk to the employees. Believe it or not, a lot of them, when it comes to technology, they know what they're selling. They know what they're selling. I love, some of you may not know this, but at Woodland Hills, you know, they have the Apple Store. I know some of us don't like Apple products, but if your teen has an Apple product, did you know that you can actually call and you can set up an appointment with them and they'll tell you everything about that phone? Everything about that phone. And did you know if you do have an Apple product, you can go on and set parental parameters? A lot of parents don't know because they haven't gone and researched. I can show you how to do that. So if you want to know, it's well worth it. Well worth it. You know, knowledge is the power, and too often, parents, grandparents, even me, are powerless simply because they don't even know what they don't know. If you think about it, that's true. We don't know what we don't know. Here's an example I wanted to show you. I wanted to give you an example. Here's an example. Anybody know? Everybody know what an app is, right? An app. Do we know what an app is? It's okay if you don't. It's okay if you don't. Well, an app is something you can download on your phone. For instance, I had an app that allows me to access my thermostat at my house. They have an app for Facebook. It's where you can click on that, and it opens up, and you can do the Facebook world. Well, today, I thought, hey, what are the dangerous apps that are out there right now? I didn't know the answer. I had to go Google it. I had to Google it. And I want to share with these what I found. And moms and dads, grandparents, you might want to take notes. Because some of this is pretty severe, what I saw and what I found. Here's what I found. The number one, and they have all weird names and weird icons. I know, that looks really weird, right? Why would anybody want that? This is called Yik Yak. Yes, Yik Yak. But listen to this. This app is one of the newest, and they say this, quote, one of the most dangerous. It allows users to post text-only yaks of up to 200 characters. The message can be viewed by the 500 yakkers who are the closest to the person who wrote the yak, as determined by GPS tracking. Do you know a lot of your newer model phones have a GPS on them? They do. You can turn that off. You might want to. So, as determined by GPS tracking, users are exposed to and contributing to sexually explicit content, abusive language, and personal attacks so severe that schools are starting to block the app on their Wi-Fi. Although, and this is very, man, although the posts are anonymous, kids start revealing personal information as they get more comfortable with their users. Here's another one, and I've dealt with this one already in our youth group, Snapchat. This app allows users to send photos that will disappear after 10 seconds. That's what they tell you. I can talk more about that later if you want to know. Once the recipient opens the picture, the time starts. Then it's gone. At least they think it is. From both the sender's phone and the recipient's phone. However, the recipient can take a screenshot of the photo and have it to share with others. And really this app, why it's so awful, it enables kids to feel more comfortable with sexting with peers. Bad. Not a good app at all. I don't even know really how to pronounce this. I think it's Kik. That's what I'm going to say. Kik Messenger. This is a private messenger app and is coveted by those under 18 for a number of reasons. The app allows kids to send private messages that their parents can't see. There is very little you can do to verify the identity of someone on Kik, which obviously poses the risk of sexual predators chatting with your child. And again, this is an easy tool for sexting. Down. This application is connected to Facebook. That's going to be hard to understand for some of you, but basically it connects to their friends that are on Facebook and the two work simultaneously. Users can categorize, and this is where it gets really not very good, categorize their Facebook friends in one of two ways. They can indicate whether or not a friend is someone they would like to hang with or someone they are down to hook up with. I'll just tell you this, if you don't know. Down to hook up with, not good. Not good. The slogan for the app, listen to this. This is their slogan. This is things that our kids, our teens are downloading. The slogan, the anonymous, simple, fun way to find friends who are down for the night. If that alone doesn't scare you, if that alone doesn't make you want to go check your child's phone right now, I don't know what it will be. Omingle. This app has been around since 2008, with video chat added in 2009. When you use this, you do not identify yourself through the service. Chat participants are only identified as you and stranger. Yeah, you and stranger. You don't have to register for the app. However, you can connect, again, this with Facebook account to find chat partners with similar interests. When choosing this feature, the Facebook app will receive your Facebook likes and try to match you with a stranger with similar likes. Really? Seriously? This app allows you, it allows your kids to give out their personal information, even allows them to talk to strangers. Here's another one, Whisper. This is a meeting app that encourages users to post secrets. You post anonymously, but it displays the area you're posting from. You can search for users posting within a mile of you. Again, going back and it's using that GPS feature that's on your phone. A quick look at the app and you can see that online relationships are forming constantly on this app, but you never know the person behind the computer or phone. Listen to this. One man in Washington was convicted of raping a 12-year-old girl he met on this app just last year. And it's out there. It's out there. And then here's the last one, and I'm just doing this one. This, you can't even get it anymore. It's been taken down. But I guarantee you there's people trying to already recreate it. The Poof app. It allows users to make apps disappear on their phone with one touch. Kids can hide every app they don't want you to see on their phone. All they have to do is open the app, select the ones they don't want to see. Very scary. But again, the good news about this one, this app is no longer available. Apple did catch on, and they have deleted it. But if it's on your phone, if it's already on your child's phone, guess what? They still could have it. It still could be there. And keep in mind, apps like this are created and terminated pretty quickly. And some other ones that might be out there, hidden apps, App Lock, Hide It Pro. If you see anything with keywords hide, hidden, or lock, it's probably a good sign that's what that app's used for. I mean, as many people that are making these, they're trying to delete them as fast as they can, but they're still there. But here's something else. You know, I want you to understand, because this really, really bothers me, Google Play. Google Play is for like your Android, some of your tablets. And how they rate their content is awful, and you need to understand that. You're probably not going to be able to see that. Some of you will, but I want you to understand. Basically, someone out there, I'm going to use Roger. Can I use you as an example? Roger would never do this, but so you know. Roger is out there, and he's making an app, whatever that app he wants it to do. What he does is he is in charge of rating it. And this is Google's rating. Everyone, low maturity, medium maturity, high maturity. So Roger looks at his app, and he says, okay, I think this app's going to be for everyone. And he submits it to Google. Now, Google does check these. But think about it. If you think really, really hard, there's not a lot of parameters in that everyone, is there? There's not a lot of parameters. So you're trusting Roger. You're trusting Roger to say that that app is okay for your kid. Think about it. Again, Roger's not going to do this. But let's say Roger creates an app for everyone, and he decides, you know what, this is for everyone, but I want to get more downloads, I want to get more money, and it's not for everyone. Sorry, it's not for everyone. And it's actually for high maturity, but he chooses everyone. You got that? And he submits it to Google, and Google doesn't catch it. See my point here? We have to take actions. We have to take our own responsibility. Do you really want to trust Google with the rating of content that you have? So how can you search this? I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you in Google, And then I'm also going to show you an iTunes here in a second. So this is Google Store right here. Some of you will know this, some of you won't. But I'm just going to go to apps. And I mentioned one a while ago. And I'm just going to type in right here. I'm going to look up that Snapchat that we were talking about. So there's Snapchat right there. And so if there is something on your child, grandchild, whatever's phone, and you're like, hey, I want more information about this. I need to research this. Of course, you can go to Google, right? Type in Snapchat. You'll find the results, the actual Google search engine, or go to the actual store. So that's Snapchat. Now, basically the layout, it's going to give you photos of what it looks like. This is actually a video that will play. Description of the content, but then when you go down here, this is where you need to focus on. Medium maturity, content rating. So it's going to show you. So you can go and you can research this yourself. You can find out what it is. As long as the material that they have, they buy from the Google Store. Okay? So that's how you do that. So if we go back, I want to show you another one. iTunes. And actually, I should have went this way. iTunes is another big one, you know. Pretty much iTunes, you can get your music on, you can get your movies just like that one. But it's the same thing. If you look up here in the search box, you just type it in, and we will find Snapchat, and there it is, and we'll click on it. Now, the thing that I kind of like a little bit more about iTunes is they do theirs more by age, okay, age. So it says right here for 12 and plus, for anybody that's 12 years and older. Can I be honest with you? I think that's too low. Don't you agree, Steve? It's way too low. That is way too low for this application. You want to know more, I'll tell you why. Well, actually, I'll just read some of it to you. If you come down here, you can look at the rating, and you can't see that. But let me read it to you. Rated 12 plus for the following: infrequent, mild profanity or crude humor, infrequent, mild, mature, suggestive themes, infrequent, mild alcohol, tobacco, or drug use, infrequent, mild sexual content, and nudity. So right there it tells it. And again, if you want to search another one, you do the same thing, and you search. But see, this is what our teens and our children are looking at. This is what they're looking at. And you and I are just making the assumption that, well, everything on their phone or their iPad or whatever is completely fine, and we need to stop. We need to take control of it. So first is get educated. The second is get online. And some of you are not going to like what I'm going to tell you right here, but that's okay. I can take it. I am a firm believer in this. You need to get online. And what I mean by that, if your kids have a Facebook, you need to have a Facebook. If your kids use Twitter, you need to use Twitter and subscribe to theirs. If your child plays Xbox, you need to at least be familiar. You need to be familiar with the game and how it's played. If your child likes to text message, you need to learn how to do it. You know, nothing can distance a parent or a grandparent quicker than not understanding their world and what they're in and what they're doing. You know, it's already difficult. You know, I have that difficulty even with the teens here. It's hard to have that connection and to do that. You being online and trying to interact with your child, in my opinion, can only help bridge that gap, because you get it. You get what they're doing. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to like everything your child posts. It doesn't mean you have to tag every photo your child is in. It just means you have to be nearby online. Isn't that the heart of parenting anyway? Being near our children and our grandchildren and those that we care about? By the way, if you aren't familiar with the phrases Twitter, Facebook, subscribe, like, tag, and post, you're officially out of touch. And you need to go Google it and research it. The next thing, don't overreact. Don't overreact. That's very easy to do, right? We see our child is doing something, or we see something on TV of this technology thing that someone's doing, and the first thing we want to do is we want to explode and overreact. Don't overreact, because remember, hear me out, technology is not the problem. It's the use or abuse of it that can be the problem. That's the problem. Just because you heard a story about some kid that abused Facebook and you saw it on CNN or whatever, that does not mean your child will do the same. Just because some other teenagers are sexting, you know, sending naked pictures of themselves, it does not mean yours is or will. When you hear stories of how technology is being abused, when you see these stories, you know what we have to do as a parent? We need to sit down and talk about that with our child. Not in a sense that we're pointing fingers and telling them, I think you're doing this. We sit down and we talk to them. We make sure that they understand the pitfalls. They understand the consequences. They understand that there's good and that there is evil. I mean, think about it. When they're driving, you warn them of the dangers of driving, right? We warn them of that. You need to make sure they understand the dangers of being online and the technology and the apps that are there. But I said don't overreact. Do not be too trusting. I think that's one of the biggest things that happens in our households. While overacting can be a problem, so can too much trust, because you think you have a good child. Does not mean he or she cannot get in trouble with certain technology. Think about this. Children, particularly teenagers, they are still developing portions in their brain. They're still being formed and they're developing those. And the common sense and rationale portions of their brain, they're still a work in progress. Tell me. Trust me. I know. It's not all there yet. It's not there. And so these factors combined with the influence of friends, with what they see on TV, what commercials they see, blah, 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 that's what ends up happening. And it turns very, very bad. Education will help you know what's out there and what the dangers are. You ever thought about that? We can do it. I'm going to tell you a couple other things that I think we need to do on not being trusting. And if the teens were in here, they would hate me, but that's okay. You know, I don't think it's wrong. Actually, I'm not even going to say I think. It's not wrong for us as parents and grandparents. Once a week, twice a week, don't do it at the same time. They'll figure it out. But we go to them. And we ask them for that smartphone. We ask them for that tablet. We ask them for that MacBook, that laptop. And we look what they're looking at. We look. You know, the best scenario there is if it's an iPhone or iPad or whatever, look what apps are on there. And if you don't know one, if you're like, I have never seen this before, I don't know what this is, that means you need to do some research. You need to write that down. You need to go research it. Come to me. I'll help you. Because that's going to be the only way that you and I are going to know. And we're protecting, in a sense. We're protecting. You know, also, if you're not yet, I think you need to enforce, I hope I don't embarrass him, you need to enforce the Steve Parker rule. What's the Steve Parker rule? Yeah. Yeah. Did you hear that? You plug it in the living room. You plug it in the kitchen. That phone, that iPad, that whatever does not need to cross that threshold of that bedroom. Because think about it. When are kids going to get in trouble the most? When they're in their room, when they're supposed to be going to sleep, and when they're not. And so I have now termed that the Steve Parker rule. And when Naomi gets older, it's going to be a rule. I actually know because of that, Brandon and Misty are doing it now. It's a good rule to think about. Good rule. Don't be too trusting. Also, know their friends. How well do you know their friends? Are they in your home? Are you creating opportunities where you can interact with them? Are you placing yourself in proximity, even online, to see, hear, and read what is going on in their world? I'll tell you this. I have a Facebook, and I learn more about the teens in this group by what they post on Facebook. And I've had to have many, many, many conversations with some of them because of that.
Justin,
yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
Your child gets on Xbox Live and plays games across the country with other people. How do you know who he's playing with?
You don't. I mean, I know I could research that a little bit more. I don't know. Like, I do know. One cool thing about a Wii, if you don't know what that is, go Google it. One cool thing about a Wii, you can go look how long they've been on. But I don't think there's any way to actually control that. I could be wrong. I don't think there's any way to control it. And I've seen kids play it. I've been around people that play it. And you can't control what that other person is saying through that headset that they're wearing. I know some of you are like, what is he talking about now? It's all right. You know, I don't think you can. I personally just don't get Xbox Live. But you know, that might be an opportunity, Roger. What did I say earlier? You get on with him. You be the monitor of it and see if that's something he really needs, if he should be really doing it. You know, I just really honestly feel when it comes to the phones, you need to know who they're emailing. You need to know who they're texting. If you don't know their closest friends, you do not know who's influencing them for the good or the evil. Communicate with other parents. You would be surprised what you can learn in this regard. You know, all parents like to talk about their kids, right? I know I like to talk about Naomi. All of them. Ask them questions. Share your struggles. You'll not only realize you have similar parenting issues, you might learn how to deal with some of those things coming up. This is another one. The kids were in here. They would be like screaming at me. And some of you might have a problem with this. Get passwords. You know, this is controversial, but I firmly believe that if you get their password to their phone, the password to their Facebook, the password to their email, you're protecting your child. You're protecting your child. And think about it. Having a child's passwords gives you access to their online world. And you know what? I've dealt with this one too. If they argue about doing it, that's probably a good indication that you need it. It really is. It's probably a good indication that you need it. They're probably doing or saying or texting things that they shouldn't be. It doesn't mean you have to read their mail. You could if you wanted to, because you have their password, right? Some would be quick to say, well, that's invasion to their privacy. Well, guess what? I don't agree with that, because if they're under my house and I'm putting food in their belly and I am paying for that phone and I'm paying for the clothes on their back,
amen.
I get responsibility of that.
Responsibility.
Huh? Exactly. It is our responsibility. And really, think about it this way too. Privacy is an earned freedom. It's an earned freedom after a proven track record of wise behavior. The more responsible your child proves to be, the more freedoms that you can give. Here's another one. We got to move quickly. Be yourself. We just have to admit we're never going to be as cool as them, right? It's not going to happen. But here's what happens. Some of us want to try and be as cool as them. And what ends up happening, and I've seen this, we want to be their BFF, their best friends for life. You know what? They don't need another best friend. They need a parent. They need someone that is going to care for them, that is going to look at their things. Be yourself. Don't try and impress them. Don't do it. And here's one that we'd all like to do. Get outside, right? Get them away from the technology. Have them go outside. But I do want to tell you one thing, and I know we understand that. I do want to say one thing. You know, going back on it, looking back at my teen years, even younger, when I was, I got to live with my dad every other weekend. I had all the cool things. Like, I had the Nintendo, and then I got the Super Nintendo. I didn't have them all at the same time. I'd trade them. I was one of those that would go trade it, get the next one, trade it back in, get the next one, trade it back in. One thing I remember, and I'll never forget this, my dad hated doing it, but you know what? He got on my level, and he played video games with me. Now, I beat him every time. He never could win, and I'd still beat him today, and I would enjoy it. But you know what? I remember that because we spent time together, and he got on my level. He was in where I was at. And see, that's kind of the thing we have with technology. We can choose one of two things. We can say, well, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm going to walk away from it. I'm going to try and take all of it away from my teen or my child. Or we can get on their level and we can monitor it and show them the good and the evil. I think if we take the first approach, we're being very detrimental to them. Because I think they're going to take that and they're going to try and do whatever they can do behind our backs, vice versa. I firmly believe technology is good when used in the right way. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. That's really what it boils down to when it comes to technology. We have to be responsible for what they're doing. We need to get in and we need to look. We need to research. Man, I could have spent another 4 hours if there's stuff out there that you need to know about. And the only way you're going to know is by researching it. And I know if we're researching it, we might be researching what? Evil. But it's our job. It's our job to protect them. It's our job to know what's out there. I'm willing to talk about any of this stuff. You know, if you have more questions later on, I will talk to you about it. A couple of things, other things I want to tell you. If they have a cell phone and you haven't researched that cell phone, you need to do it. If they have an iPad, if they have a tablet, and you haven't researched that, you need to do it. Because the mass majority of the newer technology has parental controls on it to where you can have the password and you can decide what they can do. All that stuff I've shown you on iTunes, if you had set those parental controls on that phone and have that password and not give it to them, you wouldn't have to worry about it. You can go on there and you can say, well, I only want my daughter or my son to get G-rated content as far as music, as far as movies, as far as apps. That's the thing. They're doing better about helping us, but we have to read the manual. If you think about it, we have to read the manual. We have to do our research. And I know some of you will say about the whole don't take the cell phone in the room thing. Well, my kid likes to listen to their music to sleep. You know what? I think Tom has one. How much is your MP3 player, Tom? $40, can't get on the internet, right? Good $40 investment right there. Put all their songs on it that you approve of. They can take that to their bedroom and they can listen to their music as they go to sleep. Right? Because then it's controlled. It's not allowing them to get to the things that you don't want them to get to. I'm gonna pray for us and then we'll be dismissed. If any of you have questions, you can come up here and ask me and we'll talk. Yeah, yeah.
I think, you know, all this is good, and what you said was great. I
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But also, we're just becoming more and more lax with how they're being allowing children to use them.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd like to bring to a church. They don't want to hear anything you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to listen to it as long as they can bring the toy with them, and we allow them.
Yep.
And we're allowing it more and more, and just like we're allowing people to bring drinks into the auditorium, mm-hmm. bring the iPhone into them, and we're doing everything outside of what we really ought to be.
And that's exactly right, you know, and that's why as parents and as grandparents, we have to put our foot down. We have to start setting parameters on that, you know. I can tell you, prime example, I wished I knew, I think it's AT&T. They have this thing now, I was looking at it the other day, and I was like, man, that would be amazing. They have this thing that I think you pay like $3 a month, and they have to have a certain phone. You can turn that phone off from your phone at dinner time. Shuts it off. You get on your phone and you say, I don't want that thing on. And you know, that, I mean.
But then again, you shouldn't have yours on either at dinner time.
Well, you know what? Turn it off before you go to the dinner table. Was there something else? Yeah.
I just want to say is the Facebook thing, there is a minimum age.
There is.
Everybody is disregarding that and allowing their children to get on. Why don't my boys are not allowed on?
There is a minimum age.
No,
you're not the bad one. And see, that's the thing. Going back to that and kind of going back to the whole, the Apple and even the Google, so you understand that. Those are all minimum ages, right? But they have no way of controlling that. And I don't think they even want to control it. That's why I'm trying to get back to you as a parent have to take that responsibility. You have to do that. And you make those parameters and you decide. There's age limits on all of that stuff. But, you know, all you need, listen to this, all you need to get Facebook, all you need to get into iTunes, all you need to get in Google Play is an email. That's it. They don't check any of the rest of it. You have an email? Okay. That's why I'm saying as a parent, you have to take control. You have to take control. Let me pray, and then if you guys have more questions, you can come up and ask me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we're thankful for this time that you've given us. And God, there's a lot of evil in our world. There's a lot of good in our world. And God, I just ask right now that you allow us as parents, as grandparents, as aunts, as uncles, as caring adults, that we help the children that we're around and we help them understand and set parameters and let them know that, God, we're doing this because we want them to get closer to you. God, we're thankful for this time you've given us. We're thankful for your love and your hope and everything that you give us. God, thank you for life and allowing us to live every day. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.